I started a message last Sunday night with the intention of finishing it last Sunday night, but I missed. And so the intention this morning is to finish off that message that I started last Sunday night. However, it means if you weren't here last Sunday night, I really would want you and urge you to listen to the podcast, especially the second half of it. The reasons will become clear as we go through this morning. I don't know about you, but for me, New Year is a time of lists. Anybody else into the lists mode? Lists, I do lists. I do my New Year's resolution list. I actually changed it after Jason Street's message, giving a message last Sunday morning. And so I put something else on top of my list, but yeah, it's about lists. We have a house things to do list. Anybody else have a house things to do list? Things we hope to get done this year in the house. That's put together by me and Michelle. No, it's put together by Michelle and I. I think it's probably a better way of putting it. Those kind of things. We also, at our house at least, have a holiday destinations list that we kind of put together, and we kind of think, well, where should we go this year? Because I think that's really fun. That's a fun list, that one. And Michelle's actually started our Christmas present list for 2016. Isn't that amazing? And she's bought some things off it already. Isn't that incredible? Sales. See, that's the key, sales. So you can either get more stuff for your money, or you save money, depending how you're feeling. Yeah. And I said that Sunday night. You know, if you don't have a list, if you don't have some aims or some plans for this year, I would really encourage you to actually sit down this coming week and make some. You know, most people that aim for nothing hit it. But if we're going to aim for something more than nothing, we need to actually set that aim up, set that. What are we trying to do? What we're trying to achieve? What's this year going to be about? And if you don't do New Year resolutions, call it what you want, personal development, some things, whatever you want to call them. But I'd really encourage you to do something. You see, the Bible is full of lists as well. It's got the Old Testament's full of great lists, lists of names, of genealogies, of families and kings, lists of nations, lists of gifts, lists of commandments. The New Testament has lists, doesn't it? Spiritual gifts list, spiritual fruit list. And it mentions that even heaven has lists. There's a book of life that has a list of all the people that are going to make it. See, there's lists everywhere, even in heaven. We won't escape lists in heaven. They're still there. And what I wanted to do really for us as a congregation, for me and for you, is to give you a couple of biblical lists which I truly believe will help each one of us, but not just us, the people around us who we love and who we want to give to, that will really help them in this year ahead. You see, I really believe that this is going to be a breakout year for us corporately, but also for you individually, that you'll break out into areas perhaps you've been struggling with for a while, or things you've been praying for a while. You're going to break through those and break out into those areas. Because I really believe God longs to do great things in us. He's a good heavenly Father that wants us to succeed. So these two lists, there was a short list, which I shared last week, a list that we need, I think, in tough times, when things are hard, when disease strikes us or somebody who we love, or death strikes, or redundancy strikes, something strikes, it's tough, it's difficult, that causes us stress and difficulty. And you might be in that place right now, which means that you need to listen to the podcast from last week, because I'm not doing that list again. But I said to each one of you, you might be in a perfect place at the moment, but who knows what's going to happen this year? You know, and actually I'm praying that nothing happens this year. You have a great year, but there's bound to be some people in your world where things don't work out as they hoped in all sorts of different ways. And that list will be useful for them. You can find that list in Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. The second list, and the one that I'm going to share this morning, and hence why I have the ladder, I figured you're going to forget most of my message, but you will remember the very big ladder on the stage. I'm going to share this morning is a list for good times, particularly for good times, I think. And this morning, I want to encourage you to take notes. Because I think as you take notes, you can then identify some things on this list that we're going to put on this ladder here. I'm going to work hard on those at least for the first half of the year, and then I might change and go for some other things on the second half of the year, but I can do that. Jesus says in John 15, verse 18 and 19, that he's not from this world, but he is from another world. And he says, you, as You, meaning us, his followers, are also from this other world, from the kingdom of heaven, from heaven itself. And he calls us to live a life worthy of who we actually are. Children no longer of earth, but children now of heaven. And he calls us to live a life from heaven's perspective, not from earth's perspective. And these lists will help you do this. Now, lists aren't always necessarily easy to follow. I don't know my New Year's resolution list. I never quite make it. I don't know about you. I usually put 4 or 5 things down. And you don't have to get 4 or so right. It's been a good year. You can guess which one I normally fail at. And but usually I've done quite well. And it's the same with these biblical lists. You might go, oh man, I'm not sure I'll ever fulfill all of it. Well, I'm believing you are, but having a go at it will definitely help you mature and grow and succeed in your life. So, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read the second list, the longer list, the list that will help us in good times and in bad, but particularly in good times. It's from Peter, the apostle, the fisherman, the one who said Jesus was Lord and then denied him 3 times. And he wrote this to encourage the Christians both in his time and in our time. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then Peter says, for this reason, for this what Jesus has done for you, all that he's given us, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in ever-increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you have time, go and read the few verses after that, where Peter shares some of his personal testimony of his experience of Jesus, which is very, very cool, and I shared with the team this morning. The list for good times, for those of you taking notes, the list for good times, or some theologians call it the ladder of faith. So let's welcome my assistant for the morning, Claire, who's going to stick things on this ladder. Come on, give her a clap. She's going to looking forward to this. Now, how many things are there in the list? Not 8. So which rung shall we start her on, church? But this one or that one? There's 15 rungs, so 7 up. 1, 2. So if we put it at 1, Carl, how do I put it at 1? If you're new, we like having fun here as well as learning lots. Just put it at 1, that's it. No, I think that'll do. So say that again, Dave. If we start on the... Start on this one. Yes. It's all right, you don't need to start. Yeah, it's fine. We haven't started yet, though, Claire, so just... We do know. It's not. You just need to count. Every time I bring one up, you then add it to the list. Is that okay? Good. I shared last week, before we get onto the list, that actually this list is based on some foundations. And These foundations, I think, are key for us to get the best out of the list. It begins with faith. Faith, which is an initial acceptance of God's love for each one of us. It begins with faith, us actually accepting what God has done, and then in the light of that, saying thank you very much and accept it. Andy, who's been emceeing this morning, will come, and for those of you who perhaps going, I'm not sure I'm in faith or I know who Jesus is yet, he will come and explain that in more detail. Because you see, this faith, as it says in verse 2 of the passage we read, gives us grace and peace. Grace, God's unmerited, unlimited favor in our lives. And if we fail to understand that as we are in faith, that God's grace, his favor is in us. If we don't understand that, we go, well, man, my life's going to be hard work. But actually, God is saying, no, I'm with you. My favor, my goodness, my blessings are going to be in your life. And it says in Romans 5, verse 3, which we read last week, is this should lead us to rejoice in all circumstances. Because we should. We go, well, you know, I'm in faith. I'm in relationship with God. God's grace is in my life. Therefore, whatever's going on, I can rejoice because of what God is giving me. And then this passage says also that we need to remember that God's divine power and his promises are effective in our lives every single day. God never leaves us on our own. He's always with us and helping us every stage of the journey. So, Peter writes, for this reason, make every effort to add. He says that we need to make effort. Somebody wrote that human effort is indispensable even though it's inadequate. So we're called to bring effort into this even though God is doing most of the work. And Peter says that we need to make our election and calling sure in our lives. And what I'm saying to you is, well, I don't know about you, but I'm discovering more and more that people want to blame somebody else for everything. Are you discovering that more? It's not my fault, it's the government's fault. It's not my fault, it's the way I brought up. It's my parents' fault. It's not my fault, it's the education's fault. It's not my fault, it's my boss's fault. It's not my fault, it's my wife's or my... It's somebody else's fault. But what Peter's trying to say is, actually, you make your calling and you make the effort. And for us to succeed in our lives as Christians, each one a call to make our own... Actually, take personal responsibility for who we are. And my wonderful wife is going to talk more about that tonight. But I just wanted to emphasize that this only works when we add who we are. And even though God does most of the work, that's true. We need to add who we are into that mix. Peter writes, we need to add. And I shared last week that this adding is a costly adding, a generous adding. It's something that's going to cost something of us. It won't be necessarily easy and straightforward every element of the journey. And this word add comes from the ancient Greeks. The ancient Greeks used to put plays on, much like we do today. And the ancient Greeks, as in the days of old, didn't have enough money to put things on, as we don't these days. And so the person who wrote the play, and then they get some help from the local council, and then they'd ask some rich people to add their generosity into the thing to make the whole thing work. And that's what this word means, adding generously and costly. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. If, as Peter writes, if we're going to not be ineffective or unproductive, i.e. if we're going to be effective and productive. And I don't know about you, this year I want to be effective and productive in my life. I want to succeed. I want my life to count for something this year as a Christian. I want all that Jesus has done for me to be able to give something back to him. Sure, I can't pay for anything, but I can give something back to him. And see, this is Peter's heart for us, the Apostle Peter. He's saying, I want you to be effective and productive for Jesus. I want you to succeed for your life to mean something. Therefore, he said, I'm going to write you a list, which we will now begin. And it begins with faith. The journey of anything in Christ always begins with faith. This acceptance of the love that God has already given us. It's the foundation stone of our Christian life. And as we understand what God has done for us, Peter then says we need to add goodness to that list. And this is going to be so much fun. Every second.
Yes.
Add to this Are you scared of heights, Dave? I'll get Claire to hold the ladder for you, be fine. Peter says, add goodness to it. Now, what's goodness? Well, goodness is doing things well. The proper fulfillment of things is a way the dictionary describes it. It's like a knife. I have a penknife in my pocket at home. I live on a farm, and I have a farm penknife for doing farm penknife stuff. And as you do. And I haven't sharpened my penknife for a while. You see, and what's a knife useful for? A knife is useful for cutting things, right? A good knife cuts things easily. A bad knife cuts things poorly. My knife is a medium knife. It's kind of okay, but you need sharpening. And what Peter's trying to say here is that we need to add goodness into our life. We need to do our Christian life in a good way. We need to, in essence, have a sharp Christian life in the way that we live. We need to live in a Christ-like way, both in attitude and in our actions. We need to add, you know, if what Jesus has done means anything to us, he says, that faith, that should have a response of us going, well, I want to do what Jesus wants in my life. And that's goodness. Perhaps some of you need to work on goodness this year. And then Peter says, you need to add to goodness knowledge. You go, oh, of course you need to add knowledge to goodness. What's knowledge? The understanding of what's good and bad, what's right and wrong. The understanding of we need to flee from that which is bad for us and bad for our communities and our families and run towards that which is good. You go, yeah, that's obvious. But who doesn't always do that in their life? That's why Peter says, I want to remind you of this, of something you need to keep doing, this quality of adding knowledge into your life, this pursuit of Christ-likeness. You know, I want to encourage you. Every year I put down, as most of you know, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year because I want to increase my knowledge of God and how to live my life. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I am suggesting that you do have an aim somewhere of how you're going to build your knowledge up. It doesn't matter how you're going to do it. Some of you want to read more. Some of you might want to listen to more. But to have a plan somewhere of how you're going to increase your knowledge. Why? Because the Bible tells you to. And if you love Jesus, you'll go, well, because the Bible tells me to, I'm going to have a go at it. And I'm going to increase my knowledge in some way or other. Whatever the way is appropriate for you. And if you're stuck, go and ask a Connect Group leader or one of the pastors and say, hey, how do you think it could work best for me? For me, I love reading the Bible. It's kind of my thing. For some of you, you love worshiping. And you put worship on, and that will help you grow. Some of you will listen to podcasts because you just podcast people. And whatever your way is to increase your knowledge scripturally, use it and then build knowledge up. And then Peter says, well, you've got your faith, you've got your goodness, you've got your knowledge. Well, now what you need, he says, you need self-control. Self-control, which is a wonderfully small word, self-control, but very, yes, now you need to climb the ladder now. You'll have to go up. That's it. There you go. It's now going to get fun, isn't it? Self-control. We need to control our passions, our desires. We need to actually be controlled by the Spirit of God that lives in us, rather than our spirit that used to live in us. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where you have to say no to yourself and yes to something else. Most people leave church because they have no self-control. I'm not talking about people moving churches because they're called by God to go somewhere else. I'm not talking about that. People leave church, leave kind of the kingdom, because actually they don't want to say no to something that God's asking them to say no to, or they don't want to say yes to something that God's calling them to. And therefore, their decision is, they might make up all sorts of different reasons, but the decision, I'm going to leave. But actually the real reason is they don't have self-control. It's the hardest conversations that I and the other pastors ever have with anybody. And you know, from time to time, I sit down with individuals or couples and say, you know, I love you, and God loves you. I love you enough in this moment to risk my relationship with you. But what you're doing or have done is not what God's called you to do. And you're hurting yourself, you're hurting other people. And I want to let you know that something needs to change. Now, sometimes people get cross with us and get angry with us. How dare you interfere in my life? How dare you tell me I need to have some self-control in that area? But the best of you, and some of you have been amazing, have gone, you know, you're right. Thank you for risking the relationship. Can you help me fix it? Can you get some self-control back in my life? And I go, yes, it would be a pleasure. It might be that we point them somewhere else and say, well, this person's actually better than me, but go and ask them. They'll love to help you in your life. And we have different courses to help different people in different ways to do that, and sometimes we help as well. But this self-control thing is a massive, massive deal. And can I suggest that some of you this year need to work on self-control in various parts of your life and perhaps get some help for it as well. And then Peter says, you need to add to self-control perseverance. Perseverance. Do you not like ladders? Who likes ladders? We'll just get Dave to do the last one. Perseverance. Thank you. What's perseverance? Perseverance is doing self-control all the time. That's really what perseverance is. And Peter says, look, once you've got self-control, you need to keep self-controlled. You need to keep on doing the thing that you know you should do, or not do the thing you know you shouldn't do. You need to keep on. You need to be unmoved by difficulty and distress, as one writer puts it. We need to not give up. Our selfish desires or the pressure of people around us, we need to ignore and keep going and persevere. This is, I think, one of the hardest things on this list to do. You know, as you know, I could really do with shedding a few stones, never mind a few pounds. And I'm really self-controlled for about 20 hours a day. It's the other four I struggle with. And you can laugh, but I know if I talk to you long enough, there'll be an area in your life where you go, yeah, you're right. I'm really good self-control for 21, 22, whatever it is, hours every day of my life. It's just those odd ones where I miss. And you wish you didn't. And perseverance actually is about doing the whole day and the next whole day and the next whole day. And perhaps in certain areas, you might go, well, actually, I need to persevere in my knowledge. So you're kind of linking them together and keep doing that thing. I want to suggest for each one of you the greatest prayer that we can pray for each other, that we would persevere. Because as we learn to persevere, our effectiveness and productiveness, both for Christ and for the rest of our lives, will be increased massively. If you don't know what to pray for somebody, just pray for perseverance, that they would do all that God has told them so far to do and to not do the things that they know they shouldn't be. That's an amazing prayer for each one of us to give to us. Hebrews 12 verse 2 talks about the fact that Jesus persevered to the cross, hung there and didn't come off it for the joy set before him. Perhaps for some of you, you need to persevere, but to persevere, you need to know why you're persevering. You need to kind of put a picture in front of you. Why am I persevering? For me, I do what I do and I try and persevere in all my life because I want to, when I meet God, meet my Heavenly Father, to hear the well done, good and faithful servant. That for me is a big deal. When I get there, for God to say, way to go, Ed. I'm proud of you, son. You did a good job. You know, one day each one of us will meet God face to face. And if you think about it, honestly, if you think about it, you'll go, you know, I want God to say that to me as well. I want him to say, well done. I persevere in my life because I long for others to find what I've found about God and what Jesus has done. That for me is motivating and helps me to keep going in my life and do the things that God has called me to. Because it's the greatest gift I can give to anybody, the knowledge that Jesus loves them and he died for them and they can have a relationship with him and with God. And I persevere because I love seeing people change now. I love it when people find Jesus and their lives are transformed. I've said before, but over the years, I've seen people not just transform spiritually, but physically they change as a love of God and the understanding and belief in who they are enters their heart and soul, and everything changes about them. And that motivates me and helps me persevere. Jesus died for us for the joy set before him. Find the joy thing that God has given you. That thing in life, you go, that's what God has called me to do. For that God has got for me, I am going to persevere. And then Peter writes, to that add godliness. Godliness. Godliness is the awareness that God is everywhere. That God is in every single aspect of life. That God is going to help us. So far, it's quite tall, isn't it? So far, the list really has been...
Wow, that's quite high at the top, Dave.
So far, the list has been like, well, these are things that we do. But Peter says, don't forget, add to your list this ladder of faith, the fact that God is with you and in every situation, every circumstance. Again, I've met too many Christians who go, where's God in this situation? And Peter would say, right in the middle of it. Because he's always with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But Peter says, while you're working your way through this lot, remember godliness. Remember God is with you in every part of the journey. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at situations and go, this is impossible for me to get through. And this little quiet whisper says, but all things are possible with God. And that's enough. And that's enough. Adding godliness into the mix can change everything. I was just standing and praying, as I always do before I speak, and I really felt like God was saying this, that some of you, rather than Jesus being your source of peace and joy, your source of satisfaction, you put something else there. And for some of you, what you need to do this morning is put Jesus back as your chief source of peace and satisfaction. It's dead easy to do. It could be work, it could be family. It could be some kind of hobby or project that you get great worth from. None of those are bad things. They're all good things. But they'll never truly satisfy like Jesus will be. And for each one of us to realize that God is in everything and with us always will help us in this list and help us become effective and productive for him and in every area of our life. And then Peter says, add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is that love for the Christian brother or sister. He said,
man the wire, yes. We are actually insured. I didn't check with the insurers about big ladders.
It's not that high.
No, it's not that high, really. Amy, thank you, Amy. You've now give Amy a hand for climbing the big ladder. Her work is done.
Peter says, add brotherly kindness. Add the love for others into your journey of faith. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 says that three strands are not easily broken. I.e., you plus God plus others in your life is an incredibly strong and successful way to build your faith and your life. And we should love each other. We should bear each other's burdens. We should guard each other's spirits. And guard the unity we have between us. Brotherly kindness is an essential part of our growth as Christians. Can I suggest for some of you this year that you broaden your brotherly kindness circle? Some of you are quite set in your friendship groups and you're very happy with who you know. And to be honest, you're a little bit closed. But I think your challenge this year is to increase your brotherly kindness, your circle of friends. To find somebody who's not just like you, who's a little bit different, perhaps with a different culture, a different environment, and to add them into your world to help increase your brotherly kindness and your understanding of how to love people in a brotherly way. You see, brotherly kindness is something that we give to others, but in the process, people give it back to us. In fact, the greatest way and easiest way to make friends is to be kind to other people. You'd be amazed if you're kind to people how much they like you all of a sudden and are happy to hang out with you. Just to say the opposite is also true. If you're unkind to people, it's surprising how people don't want to hang out with you and don't like you very much. Just throw that in for free. But there we go. So brotherly kindness, Peter says, is the way to go to become effective. And then finally, Peter says that we should add,
Can somebody hold the ladder? Andy, do you want to hold the ladder? Dave, it's locked. You can't cheat. Up you go. Andy's going to hold it for you. It's not that high. Mind the wire. Do you know on Monday, Dave's going to be very cross at me. Andy, stop wobbling the ladder. Thank you. I give Dave a hand. Thank you very much, Dave, for doing that for us. I always talk about walking through fears, don't I, Dave? Things that I'm saying. Yes. Yep. Peter says to add love on our list. That love that only God can truly have, but something that we need to grow into for the rest of our life. That love that says, my desire, my highest goal of my life is directed to the one who I love, that they will succeed in every area of their emotional life, their physical life, their business life, their family life, whatever. I just want them to succeed. I have no agenda, and I want nothing back. I just want them to succeed. That's the love that God has for us. And that's the love that Peter's saying that we need to aim to have for each other and for God himself. Verse 8, Peter says, have these things in increasing measure. And those who think perhaps they've got there need to look at their lives and say, oi, I'm not really there yet in some of these areas. Peter encourages, why? Because Peter has a passion that you would succeed in your life, that you would be powerful and productive and effective in your life. And my passion for you and for my life is that we would be those people, that we would live those lives this year. And I believe if we're going to break out, these things, this list that you've made, needs to become part of your lives. Now, it's too long for you to gather them all. I want you to have a look and pick one or two things off that list. If you can see the list or have a look at your notes. One or two things that you're thinking, you know, I need to work. Perhaps you're a brand new Christian. You've only been a Christian a couple of weeks, and some of you have, which is fantastic. You might go, well, I need to work on the goodness and the knowledge one. I want to serve Christ. I want to sharpen my knife. And I need to learn what that means, because I don't know yet. And that's fantastic. That's your role, and we'd love to help you in that. Perhaps some of you, and a lot of you have been Christians for a while. You know, to be honest, you know goodness, and you know this. In verse 12, Peter writes, I'm going to keep reminding you these things, because you need to be reminded, and you know these things, so you need to be reminded of them. You need to put some self-discipline and perseverance in your life. And perhaps you know in your life, there's been something that you know you need to either stop or start. This is the moment where you go, actually, God, I want some help doing that. I'm going to believe that you're going to help me succeed in that part of my life this year, like never before. I might not make it all the way through, but I'm going to make some serious steps, some serious hole, a dint in that thing, whatever it is. Perhaps for others, it's the godliness, that you live your life as if God isn't with you, and you kind of feel lost and abandoned, and you need to go, I need to work on the godliness thing, that God is with me every day. Every step I take, he's with me. And you're going, God, I need more of that. I need to know that. That's my passion for this year, to know that God is with me and he helps me and he loves me. Perhaps it's the brotherly kindness. All of us need brotherly kindness and love, but perhaps you need to work on your circle of friends. Perhaps it's just, God, I need more love. Whatever it is, pick a couple and say, I'm going to start with those this year. Just write them down in your book. Underline them. Highlight them in your iPads and things that you'll have, things like that, but pick a couple. To be productive and effective is actually really simple. And I think we forget the simplicity of growing more Christ-like. That's it. That's it. Breakout is not complicated. Succeeding is not complicated. It's just doing these things over and over again and building and growing in each one of them. God wants you to succeed. He really does. And all he says is, look, just keep doing a bit more of these every week, every month, every year. And you will be surprised, amazed at what you can achieve in me.